Well, happy Easter, Devon. He is risen. It's so good to see everybody here on this wonderful resurrection morning. If you're new today, I want to welcome you. I'm Pastor Bert, and today we celebrate the anniversary of the greatest day in human history, when the Son of God, the Savior of the world, rose from the grave, defeating death for all those who had put their faith and trust in him. But not everyone sees or understands the significance of this history-altering event. In fact, some say that Christianity actually stole the idea from other religions. Resurrection was a common theme in many ancient religions, after all. The Greek god Dionysus had been brought back from death. So had the Egyptian god Osiris and the Hindu god Ganesha. While Shintoism's goddess Izanami rejected the opportunity to be resurrected so she could rule the underworld. So since this was such a common theme, some have actually questioned, what's so special about the resurrection of Jesus then? Well, when you honestly look at the different resurrection stories, you discover that Jesus is quite unique in so many different ways. The first thing to note is that none of those other deities actually knew they were going to die. None of them knew it. Dionysus was slain when he was a child. Osiris was tricked and murdered by rivals. Ganesha was defeated in battle, and Izanami died while giving birth. Death took them all by surprise and in very human fashion. Jesus, on the other hand, not only knew he was going to die, he even knew the method of his death, crucifixion. Jesus' closest friend and follower, John, recorded him saying earlier, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, then you will understand that I am he." When I am lifted up on the cross, he goes on, I will draw everyone to me. He said this to indicate how he was going to die. Now, the second thing for us, I think, to take note of is that even though Jesus knew what was going to happen to him, he went willingly. Unlike the other deities who did not know or want to die, they had no power over their situation. While Jesus declared that he alone had power, the power to give and to take life. Again, John recorded him saying, I give up my life so I may receive it back again. No one takes my life from me. I give it up willingly. I have the power to give it up and the power to receive it back again, just as my Father commanded me to do. This shows, I think, to me anyways, another stark contrast of Jesus to the other so-called resurrection stories. Only Jesus returned to life by his own power. In all the other cases, the deity in question had some kind of outside help helping them to escape the grave. Jesus' claim was entirely different. As the one true God made flesh, he claimed to have defeated death. Now notice the subtle difference here. While they may have cheated death, Jesus defeated it. The early church leader named Paul put it like this. In the letter he wrote to a young apprentice pastor named Timothy, he said, Christ Jesus has come to offer us God's gift of undeserved grace. Christ our Savior defeated death and brought us the good news. It shines like a light and offers life that never ends. Herein lies the greatest difference between Jesus and any other. Jesus defeated death for you and me. to make the only way for people to be made free from the punishment of their sin so that we could be with him forever. It's the very reason he left heaven to come to earth. Everything in the Christian faith hinges on this fact. Take away the resurrection, and you take away Christianity. Paul explained it like this to the church that was in Corinth, Greece at that time. He said, if Christ wasn't raised from life, our message is worthless, and so is your faith. People may want every path to lead to God, but Jesus' claim to being the only way is something every one of us needs to seriously consider. Because there has never, ever been anyone like him. We've seen that many of the world religions have some kind of resurrection type of story. But when we look at those religions, their deities usually demand sacrifices from their followers. They ask for gold, livestock, even people. But never is the system turned in reverse. Never do their gods willingly sacrifice themselves for people. The God of the Bible, who revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ, left the comfort of heaven, laid aside his divine glory to willingly sacrifice himself for humanity, so that anyone who believes in and follows him will experience a new and eternal life in Christ and with him forever. This is what God did for you, and it's his offer to you. And even if this is all new to you today, whether you're in person here or you're watching online, at the end of this talk, I'm going to give you an opportunity to make that choice to follow Jesus. He died to deal with the sin and mistakes of your past. But then he rose again to give you a hope and a future forever, as well as a purpose to live for right here and now, as long as you're here on this earth. But before we go there, I'm going to share three things that the Bible says that Jesus' resurrection accomplishes for us today. Because you may be wondering, what difference does this make to you today? Right? That a man rose from death 2,000 years ago. In fact, many over the years have echoed this same sentiment. So let's start with the fact that the resurrection actually exposes Jesus' identity. After being asked by the Jewish religious leaders for some kind of proof that he was who he claimed to be, Jesus responded with a curious statement as recorded by one of his original followers named Matthew. He said this, "Evil and sinful people are the ones who want to see a miracle for a sign. But no sign will be given to them except the sign of the prophet Jonah. Jonah was in the stomach of the big fish for 3 days and three nights. In the same way, the Son of Man will be in the grave 3 days and three nights." So Jesus made it clear here that the ultimate validation of his claims would be his own death, burial, and resurrection. He would show that he truly was the Son of God. Who else really would have the power over death but he who breathes life into every single creature? Many have tried to discredit the resurrection of Jesus in order to justify really their own selfish and sinful desires. But as we've looked at over these past few months in the series we're going through, every single person who honestly investigated the historical and scientific evidence had to all conclude that it's true. And they've had to make a personal choice to either accept it or reject what they found. Accept the truth or reject the truth. A few weeks ago, I mentioned one of these prior skeptics who, after investigation, chose to accept the truth. Sir Lionel Luku. He's in the Guinness Book of World Records as the greatest attorney who ever lived, having won more murder trials than anyone else ever in history. He was a skeptic, but he took his monumental legal knowledge and applied it to investigating the historical record of Jesus' resurrection. In summary of what he discovered, Luku stated this: "I say unequivocally that the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so overwhelming that it compels acceptance by proof, which leaves absolutely no room for doubt." Wow. The problem I've often seen is that people don't want to make an honest search for the truth, because they don't want to find out that they've been wrong all along. Neither do they want to make any changes in how they live. It reminds me of a friend who I had who passed away of alcoholic liver disease. I'd visit him in the hospital, talk about Jesus, pray with him. And in a few weeks, he was let out of the hospital. He did well. But after several months, he ended right back in there and never came out again. Why? Because he neither cared to hear about Jesus nor stop drinking. Folks, the resurrection of Jesus is not a myth. It's been proven over and over again by folks with a lot higher education and IQs than this guy, I'll tell you that. The resurrection exposes the truth of Jesus' claim that he is, in fact, the Creator God, who gives life and offers eternal life to anyone who would believe in him and receive him as their Savior and leader of their life. This is what the Christian faith is all about. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. It's about following Jesus, plain and simple. And it all hinges on the resurrection. And it's established by the resurrection, which is our second point today, that the resurrection establishes our faith and our practice. This point is closely tied to the first one. As the unique Son of God, Jesus calls God his own Father, which doesn't seem all that odd maybe to us today, but to the Jewish people at that time, it was scandalous. John explained the meaning behind Jesus' claim that the crowds would most definitely have been questioning. He said, the Jewish leaders tried all the harder to find a way to kill him. For he not only broke the Sabbath, he called God his Father, thereby making himself equal with God. Jesus' claim to being equal to God the Father establishes the Christian doctrine of the Trinity. One God, three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And because Jesus is God, we need to believe and obey him. In his great commission to the church, Jesus clearly stated that we need to go and make followers of all people in the world. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity right there. Teach them to obey everything that I have taught you. Obey what I've told you. It's not just about learning what we should do, but actually doing it. This is our mandate, given to us, given to the church, directly by Jesus himself. We do what Jesus said to do, and we teach new followers how to do what he said to do. We set the example by showing them how it's done. Last thing we want to hear from Jesus is the words we read in Luke 6:46. Why do you keep on saying that I'm your Lord when you refuse to do what I say? You know, the first pastor of the church in Jerusalem was James, who wrote that to be like this is to be disloyal to God and really unstable in your faith. He said, their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. You got to pick a side, he's saying. You got to pick a side. Our faith is established in the resurrection, and every doctrine that we believe flows from this foundation. It's who we are and what we're commissioned to pass on to others until all find freedom from their sin through faith in Jesus. This is what's called the good news of Jesus Christ. And the resurrection is the energizing power of this message. This actually is our third point today, that the resurrection energizes the good news of Christ. So what makes the resurrection of Jesus good news for us today? It's because Jesus rose from the grave. We then can be confident that he can and he will raise his followers as well. Jesus said, my Father wants everyone who sees the Son to have faith in him and have eternal life. Then I will raise them to life on the last day. Paul explained why God did this in his letter to the early church in Rome. He said, he, being Jesus, was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. Jesus' death made the necessary payment for our sin, while his resurrection enables him to grant that payment for his followers. So we then can live with him forever. Paul again makes this clear to the Roman church. He says the payment for sin is death. That's what we owe. But the gift, the free, gracious gift that God gives is everlasting life found in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Jesus died to pay for our past, and he rose again to provide for our future. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus took care of everything. To restore our relationship, everything that was necessary for us to be restored to God. We who had walked away, turned our back on him, rejected him, Jesus is the way for us to be restored in that relationship. All we need to do is say yes. Yes to Jesus. To believe in him as the Savior of the world, the Son of God, and receive him as the leader of our lives. John put it like this, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Believe Jesus is the Savior of the world, receive him personally into your life, then you will be transformed into all you were ever meant to be, a child of God. This is why the resurrection matters so much, even today, and why Jesus alone is the only way to be made right with God. And if you're here today and you're ready to make that decision, then I'll help you do that by leading you in a short prayer of confession and of commitment. And as we all bow our heads together now, if you could do that at this time, if you want to be included in that prayer, you can simply respond by raising your hand quickly and taking it back down Just include me in that prayer. Then we can pray it together silently. Thank you. Just pray along with me, dear God. Thank you for loving me so much that you sent Jesus to be my Savior. Thank you for wanting to be with me forever. I'm sorry, God, it's taken me so long to turn back to you. Please forgive me for the wasted years. Help me to live for you from now on. And thank you. Thank you for paying for my sin and for defeating death so I can be with you forever. Please, Lord, help me to live for you from now on so the rest of my life can be the best of my life. And help me to share what you've done here today in me. And I pray this, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen. Amen. As the band comes back at this time, if you did pray that prayer for the first time, could you fill in that Connect card that Donna mentioned earlier for me? I've got some resources I'd love to share with you, and I'd love to connect if there's any questions that you might have regarding this or what next steps might be for you. Then I'd love to chat with you and meet with you. And you can drop that off at the red table in the foyer there when, as you leave. That'll be great. But I'm going to turn it back to the gentleman here to close us off.